All right. Thank you for listening to our first episode, our pilot episode. I'm Anthony DeSimito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
Yay. And this is Thank You for Being a Podcast.
Thank you for being a podcast.
Dun, 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 dun. It's the Golden Girls podcast. There's been some that have started in the past from other people, but they really didn't stick. Maybe they weren't committed.
Maybe they died.
Maybe they died.
Maybe. Maybe death is all around us, folks.
Oh, what if it's like a jinx? You start a Golden Girls podcast.
We're going to die.
Hopefully we don't die. Hopefully we live. And so, yes, this is the Golden Girls podcast. And basically what we're going to do is we are going to watch each episode of the Golden Girls, starting with the very first one, the pilot, and then all the way to the very end when Dorothy leaves. Spoiler alert. Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys, if you've never watched Golden Girls. I spoiled a 1992 show season ending show premiere. But Genevieve and I both love the Golden Girls.
Yeah. I started watching it when I was a kid. Because it premiered when I was 3 years old.
Ooh.
Yeah. And of course, as a 3 year old, a show about elderly women in Miami really resonated with me. So
it was kind of like I am watching people who generally wouldn't be in these situation comedy like situations be in those. It was like I'm watching a cartoon, but the characters are these older ladies.
It's legitimately groundbreaking. I mean, basically, you know, each sitcom, I mean, basically they talk about death. They talk about aging and they, you know, talk about moving and families dying and stuff like that. And it's just another detail. Yeah.
They cover a lot of issues. And one of the things about this show that I love this show, but a lot of it is very unrealistic. A lot of things could not have happened. And so we can deconstruct that in an essence also.
And we will.
And we will, because this show is sort of like, I feel like it was kind of like Florida's like board of tourism way of saying, hey, come live in Florida. If you do, you will have lots of sex.
Lots of sex. You get to wear Easter colors
and
all the time.
pastels for days.
All year round.
And so they covered a lot of issues in the show. They covered like there was an episode where Rose thought she had HIV.
And, for real?
And yes.
I forgot about that.
And then when Rose was addicted to pills, like I think they just chose Rose to have all the dysfunctional things.
Rose is like the Jesse of Saved by the Bell.
Yes. And then they never mention like the pills again. Like she's fine afterwards. And like, and so a lot of it had a lot of serious issues. And like the A plot would be Rose is addicted to pills, or Rose is like, she thinks she has AIDS. And then the other plot line was like Dorothy thinks there's a mouse in the house. And so it was like
Sophia gets a monkey.
Yeah. And so that's also really, to me, that's super crazy. And so I'm very excited about the podcast.
We're really excited. For this episode, it's going to be just Anthony and me. Eventually, we're going to have guests.
Mm-hmm.
Next episode, we'll be hearing from the Harlem Globetrotters.
Harlem Globetrotters will all be here in Genevieve's living room.
they're going to play the Washington
Machines?
Was it Generals?
I think it's Washing Machine is their new mascot.
All right. Okay. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe it is Generals.
Generals.
The Washington First Presidents. There you go. Okay, so should we get started? The first episode is a pilot. And it is called The Engagement. And I'm going to read the synopsis.
Anthony found these synopses on Hallmark.com.
Hallmark.com.
And they're clearly written by one person.
Yes.
probably very quickly. And the quality of the synopsis depends wildly on their thoughts and feelings about the episode. Like, some of them are one line, some of them are like a paragraph.
Yeah. Some of them describe details that had nothing to do with the plot. And some of them, like, describe way too many details that have also nothing to do with the plot. And so...
So they're fucking fantastic. And that's...
Right. Well, somebody had to write 177 synopses. Like, did they...
I know.
Like, I don't understand how this happened.
They're like, I'm not doing this sober.
Right. They must not have. Like, some intern at Hallmark got this job and was just, like, typing away, like, oh, I fucking hate the Golden Girls. Like, anyway.
This is no empty nest.
Oh, that is one of the spinoffs of the Golden Girls, Empty Nest. And then there was also...
And it will never be mentioned on this show again.
Ever again. I personally did not watch Empty Nest.
I watched way too much Empty Nest.
Did you watch?
I watched.
How many seasons was Empty Nest?
Probably about... I think it was like 5 or 6.
Really? Who was the main characters?
Richard Mulligan was the lead. He was Dr. Empty Nest.
Dr. Empty Nest?
No, it's not.
Okay. I believed you.
And then his two daughters, Carol and, now I'm trying to remember. One of them was Christy McNichol, and then the other was Dinah Manoff. They're both stars from the 80s.
And how was that spinned off? Like, how were they involved with the Golden Girls?
I believe they were neighbors.
Oh.
Yeah, they're neighbors, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen Empty Nest in, probably 20 years. So.
I never saw it because my exposure to the Golden Girls, I was not born when the Golden Girls came out. I was, 2 years old. It was 2 years after Golden Girls came out that I was even born.
Yeah.
And so my exposure to Golden Girls growing up was reruns on TV Land, Lifetime, Nick at Night, and not even Nick at Night, but I'm sure it's on Nick at Night now. But it was me, a 12-year-old little gay boy who was just fascinated by these women. And I wanted to be with them, and I wanted to write for them. I remember watching it and thinking to myself, that is so funny. The writing here is so funny. And now that I watch it, some of it isn't really very funny, but maybe it gets better as it goes along.
I think there's some pretty good lines.
There's some great lines.
It's pretty sassy. It's also, it's almost 30 years old now. So there's some jokes, as you will see, that were really funny in 1985. Not so much in 2014.
Back then it was very original. The jokes were like, oh, I can't believe they're saying this stuff.
Oh, I don't know, Miami was a murder place.
Right.
We all know this as fact.
Right.
Yes.
Or that New York City was total murder town.
Yeah.
And that calling someone a scuzz bucket is uproariously funny for an old lady to say. And so, okay. So, all right. So the synopsis of The Engagement is the series opens with Sophia, Dorothy's mother, moving in with Dorothy, Blanche, and Rose. Sophia had been staying at a retirement home, Shady Pines, but a fire broke out and it burned down. Meanwhile, Blanche's latest boyfriend, Harry, proposes marriage. However, Rose, a grief counselor, has a bad feeling about their impending marriage. Okay. Ooh. Okay, so the only B plot was Sophia moving in, which was not a problem at all, right?
No. Mm-mm. No, not at all. No, they were just like, oh, you had a fire? You just have a bag of stuff? All right, we got
you have
room.
A paper bag of clothes, just like that's all you needed.
Yeah.
And that's all you could, I mean, it makes sense that's all she could have grabbed.
Nobody calls mm-hmm. the retirement home but, or management or.
But later on, it's revealed that she and someone else started the fire. So like, yeah, like there is like this whole, she runs away to Italy. Sophia runs away to Italy. Anyway, so we should start from the top, but okay. We'll get into that more.
Okay.
But yeah, it gets crazy with the Golden Girls.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So basically, let's start with the theme song. Yeah. So basically it's set to, Thank You for Being a Friend.
And it starts with a sunset?
It's a sunset with a plane. So they're all, because they're not, none. I think the only one that's from there is Blanche. They all came here. And they
is,
all.
Is Blanche from Florida? I thought she was from like Louisiana.
She might be from, she's from.
Because.
All the South. I think it's kind of one of those things where it's just, they might establish it more, but I think it's just like.
Because
Georgia, Alabama.
Right. Well, yeah. Like her father owns a plantation and somewhere where she was raised. And so she goes, when her father dies, sorry, spoiler mm-hmm. alert, her fucking fat Texas fucking Louisiana dad dies. And she has to go back home to go to the funeral. So I know she's definitely, I can't remember exactly where she's from, but she's got money. She's loaded. But somehow she needs roommates to live with her because she,
her husband died and she right. felt sad. And so she wanted to run out. I mean, she just had Coco. In the first episode, they have Coco, the gay cook.
The gay maid. Okay, so.
You don't seem to do maid stuff. You seem to cook stuff.
Cook stuff.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he cleans. I mean, he did go up to the bed of Rose, Blanche's bed, and kind of tidied it a little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe he's just neat.
Yeah. Maybe he just is a roommate, and he just cleans a lot because he's gay.
But basically, so the opening credits are just shots of them, mostly from the pilot, just them being together, them hanging out, being friends. antagonizing each other. There's one where where Dorothy pushes Rose into a closet.
Right, which we let her see that episode. And I think about that episode every time we see the opening credits. It's like, oh, that's where that happened.
That's where that shoving took
place. She should have pushed Coco into the closet because he's way too gay. By the way, I'm gay, so I can say he's way too gay. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
I was like, I did not feel qualified to gauge his gayness.
I feel like his gayness, I was trying to think, was there any other gay characters before that? And all I can think of was Three's Company.
Well, Billy Crystal on Soap was, I think, one of the first gay characters on TV.
Okay.
And that was in the 70s. So that was one of the, mm-hmm. and then in Three's Company, Jack Tripper was
pretending to be gay,
so he could live with two girls. But
the landowner, wasn't the landowner gay? That was Don Knotts, right? The landowner.
They were married. They were married, and they did not approve of two girls living mm-hmm. with a single guy.
But he was like so gay, like wearing that scarf. Like,
no, he was like a playboy. He gets married. There's a spinoff, and he gets married, and it's all about it, like fighting with. It's called Three's a Crowd.
Three's a Crowd. These spinoffs are crazy. First it was Company. Now it's Bad.
Now he's married, and I think they're living with like his father-in-law, mm-hmm. and now it's like he butts heads with the father-in-law,
and the father-in-law has to pretend to be gay in order
his wife has to pretend to be gay
for them to live in an apartment. Anyway, oh man, Three's Company is crazy. Okay, so we get into the intro. There's lots of crazy hijinks that these ladies get into. And then it opens up to outside of their Miami home, mm-hmm. covered in green, and it's beautiful. They obviously,
They have, honestly, it's Blanche's home. It's like a beautiful ranch. Yeah.
It's
a beautiful ranch. Yeah. It's got mm-hmm. like Pier 1 mm-hmm. like wicker, like nice wicker furniture. Like, honestly, it's like nicer than Pier 1. But, you know, like, I'm just saying that so you know what I'm talking mm. about. Yeah.
And then you see written by Susan Harris, which is the creator of Golden Girls. And it was her task by Buena Vista, which I don't know if it merged with. I don't know if Buena Vista is still around, but I think it merged with Disney. But I could be having my, by the way, no internet right now. I'm not fact checking myself. I could be completely wrong about what's happening to Buena Vista. But they asked her to write a comedy that is catered to older people. And so she came up with the brilliant idea of the Golden Girls, which is based off the idea that there is life and sex after 50. And that is how the show was created, basically. So thank you, Susan Harris, for creating
Good
this
job.
Gem, this gem of a show that was a hit. You know, it was like number one, all the, like, it won tons of Emmys, and it won like 24th best TV sitcom of all time recently. And so we love it, and thank you. Thank you, Susan, wherever you're at. I don't know. Maybe she's writing for Derek on Netflix, because there's a lot of old people in that. She's got the
Getting
niche market.
On HBO?
Yeah, she's just writing for... She wrote for Matlock. She wrote... what's another old person show?
I don't know. Let's see.
Murder, She Wrote.
And... Murder, She Wrote. Diagnosis Murder.
Maybe she writes for Bones, because I heard a lot of old people love Bones.
Bones.
Oh, man. Anyway, maybe just old people like Bones, because they're Bones.
They're like, I have Bones. Bones are shrinking.
For the Ghost Whisperer, I heard of, there's a huge old people fan base.
Yeah, they're like, Jennifer Love Hewitt's breasts talk to ghosts.
Okay, so the first scene opens up with Dorothy walks in with her giant shoulder pads. This yeah. show should have been called Shoulder Pads Extravaganza, because yeah. everyone has shoulder pads.
It was the time. That was the time. Everyone needed big shoulders. Mm-hmm.
But well into the end of the year of the season... of the show. What am I talking about? And well into the end of the show, 7 years later, 1982, still sporting the shoulder pads. They never went away. And so...
It was a confusing time, Anthony.
Everyone was confused. Maybe they slowly stop wearing shoulder, like big shoulder pads throughout the show. Like, they get less and less. Maybe we can find if that
they
happens.
They wanted to stop.
Did they?
I don't know,
that was an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. Shoulder pads. I remember my last shoulder pad incident was 1993.
Ooh.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that mm-hmm. was just the time.
Do you think it was part of like the feminist movement? Like, we have big shoulders like men.
That's I think why so. Yeah, I
like,
think
it's take us seriously.
You take it seriously.
In this Miami home.
These are also very soft.
Oh, man. So yeah. She walks in. She puts her briefcase on the coffee table like she's mad or something. And then she walks in and she says, I just finished teaching the best school in Dade County, I think.
Dade County is where all the magic takes place.
All the magic. So it's D-A-D-E?
Yeah.
Dade County. And I kicked out two girls and three boys or something, because two bald girls and three boys with like green hair.
Yeah.
Something like that, out of my class because they were ugly. Just throws them out of class. And she's talking to Coco, who is making enchiladas.
Yeah, enchiladas rancheros.
Enchiladas rancheros. He's just cooking away, and then
Yeah, and he's like, they're just expressing themselves. And,
right.
And she's like, well, I'm expressing myself and throwing them out of class.
Oh, my God. And, like, that's so illegal. You can't do that.
That was, like, shaved heads, though. That was, like, a big threat in the 80s. It was, like, shaved heads, lasers.
Lasers,
skateboards,
sneakers,
sneakers, wearing sneakers with regular clothes,
having holes in your jeans. She might as well have been like, this girl was wearing holes in her jeans and this boy had long hair. I kicked them out of class. Yeah. Like when you're talking to like someone that's super progressive and liberal, like that she's complaining and then totally disses the fact that he's making dinner for her, like, she's just, like, doesn't care. So
yeah,
this,
she's like, just go, like, he tells her what he's making. She goes, go ahead and kill me.
Go ahead and shoot me.
Go ahead and shoot me.
Yeah, and then it doesn't, you don't know why until later, like, 30 seconds later, she's like, why would you eat enchiladas? It's so spicy to Rose when she comes in. But to me, it was kind of like, they established her character. Yeah, she's just snarky.
She's kind of a dick.
Yeah. So they did a good job. You know.
Yeah.
They did a good job being totally like a dick to her students and to Coco.
Yeah. Who keeps making the enchiladas anyway? So
And then she says she just mockingly mentions that the daughter, the one of the students' girls' dad came in with a 3-piece suit to defend a bald girl. Like
named Tiffany.
And it's like you couldn't think of another, like the word bald was said twice in this joke. Like, I don't know. To me, that was just super redundant joke. Like, we got it. Bald is funny. Think of something else. Like, maybe bald with a tattoo. You know, like, I don't know. That
bothered me. She had a face tattoo.
She had a face tattoo. Something different.
Yeah.
Okay. And then...
She's a teacher. She's a teacher. She's angry. That's what they're trying to say.
Right.
So Rose comes in. Mm-hmm. She's also coming from work. She talks about how she had to deal with one sad person after another. And then Dorothy goes, yeah, you're goddamn... grief counselor.
Yeah, get over it.
What do you expect? Comedians? Who'd also be sad people?
Right, they're also sad. Oh, man. And so, I don't know. Okay, like, I don't know how good Rose would be as a grief counselor.
I'm sure she's great.
I think she would be just good at holding their hands and being like, it's going to be okay. But in terms of, like, logically understanding what they're saying, if somebody was like, yeah, we had a wake for my husband. And then she's just like, he was awake? I thought he was dead. Like, just like very Amelia Bedelia. Like, I want to see her at work and her coworkers deal with her, like, ditziness. That would be a part of the show. I would like to see.
Maybe they do. Maybe sometime. Or maybe she's, like, super competent at work and this is just... she's at home. She always has the same kind of smile on her face.
Right.
Yeah. She's a simpleton.
Yeah. Maybe she's not micromanaged and that's what she's able to do.
She's from Minnesota. She's from St. Olaf.
Is St. Olaf? St. Olive. Isn't St. Olive? I think St. Olaf.
St. Olaf, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's in Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Okay.
It's a simple
She doesn't
town.
Talk about St. Olaf in this first episode. Maybe they haven't written it in yet.
Yeah.
I thought she would have when she was talking about the blowgun, you know?
Yeah.
Later on, but she didn't. So.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So.
And so, okay. So moving on. Who enters next? It was Blanche.
Blanche comes in. She's wearing Dorothy's mink stole.
Stole, which she steals from her closet. Like,
yeah,
she's in there.
She's wearing it. She did ask. She said to Dorothy as she's wearing it, she's like, oh, can I borrow your stole? And then.
But it's like she went into her room and got it. That's so rude. Like, she.
So rude. These people have problems with boundaries.
They have no. They're just super codependent and super. all over each other's grill. I would have totally. A problem. Especially like old white ladies. I would imagine they'd be like, what were you doing in my room? You know, especially Dorothy.
Yeah, I feel like Dorothy would have been, yeah, she would have totally been more of a dick about it, but she wasn't. Maybe she's used to it. And Rose asked if she's going out. And Dorothy says, no, she's just going to sit here in a mink stole and eat enchiladas when it's 112 degrees. Which, like, I think we can all agree would have been great.
But Rose, it would have been amazing. But Rose was just being, like, she was just asking politely. And she just has to be like, no, you idiot. Like, are you kidding me? Like, anyway.
And she's from New York or New Jersey or something. And that's mm-hmm. her way.
Well, she says, Dorothy asks, who is she going out with? And then Coco says, Harry again. And then struts into his room.
He has a problem with Harry.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's just super snarky. And I wish he would have stayed because
he had to finish the enchiladas for starters.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, they just had to make enchiladas because he was, like, Latin or something.
Well, maybe they were baking.
Yeah.
And they were baking.
And then, the reason that he left the show was that I read online was that they didn't have the airtime for him. And I was, to me, that makes no sense because there's four characters in that show.
Yeah.
Like, he could have had airtime. I mean, if you think back at all the shows that were on that, at that time, it was like Cheers. There was like 30 characters in Cheers at like any given moment, you know, and like, that doesn't make sense. And so I'm thinking, like, maybe Buena Vista had a problem with him being super gay. Maybe the actor gated up too much. Like, I don't know. They were just like, cut him off. Did you see his expression when he found out Blanche was getting married?
I know. He was like, I'm fucking gone.
I'm done.
I'm done.
Man.
He's like, man, I got to make sure that my SAG insurance is still in effect.
SAG insurance. And so Blanche, her reason to come in is to ask if she could borrow the mink stole and also to grab cucumbers from the refrigerator to put them on her face, which is fully covered in makeup, like caked on already, blush to the ears.
Yeah.
To like the sides of her ears and down to her face. And I don't understand that she's going to put the cucumbers like all over her makeup face. Like,
she's nervously getting ready. She's getting ready. She's coming in. She's asking for the stole. And And then also this sets up Rose to ask if the cucumbers can get rid of puffiness on your thighs. Which, by the way, that's a women. Women in the 80s were not allowed to go an episode of television without mentioning how much they hate their thighs. So
Rose's puffy thighs.
Puffy thighs.
I think they missed an opportunity for, like, Coco to say, like, I rub cucumbers between my thighs all the time.
He like, would have just if he had more in the show.
You know why there's cucumbers in the house, right? Because Coco lives there.
He's like, yeah, he turns and he looks and he goes, you fucking taking my cucumber?
I was going to use that later.
He's all
I live with three 50-year-old women. I'm not going to get any action. Leave my fucking cucumbers alone, Blanche. You go on dates every weekend. That's all I have.
You're going on dates with fucking Harry. So
I would have like every other episode of The Golden Girls is someone's dating someone. And then when they're not in the, when Dorothy will be dating some guy and then, bye kitty. Yeah. Dorothy will be dating some guy. By the way, there was a kitty on the table.
It is Godiva. In our fucking faces.
Beautiful kitty. And then, every other episode is like Dorothy's dating someone, and when Dorothy's not in the room, hits on Rose or hits on her mom. That if he was on the series for the entire series, like there would have been like awesome plots where like Dorothy's boyfriend like hits on Coco, And that would have been super awesome.
Missed opportunity.
Right.
Golden Girls.
Missed it.
Golden Girls and boy.
And boy. But yeah. I think that what they were trying to do maybe was like designing women, how like they had.
Yeah, he was definitely the Meshach Taylor.
Yeah, the Meshach Taylor of designing women. And then they were like, no, it's been done. Maybe that was it. Designing women before or after?
Designing women was after. I think it was 1986 or 1987.
Okay. Then never mind.
So
designing women stole their idea from the first.
There's episode. A lot of live-in help in the 80s. Yeah. It was a prosperous time. So there's a lot of butlers, a lot of nannies, a lot of drivers.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of TV shows about nannies and people having to take care of each other and stuff. Especially in Miami. Well, like, I would think that living in Miami and being able to afford like a maid, like it's kind of silly for those three women to need a maid. I mean, like, they're not all super busy, you know.
They all worked.
Okay,
they all worked because they're all coming home from their jobs.
Right, but if they could afford a maid, obviously they'll split the cost. If they can afford a maid, then obviously like Sophia should have been living with them already, you know, and the nanny would have been taking care of her, or you know, like I think if they're gonna spend that much money on a maid, they could have like hired somebody to take care of Sophia and not paid for Shady Pines. That's my take on that.
Look, we're not here to talk. Well, yes, we are. We're here to talk about the economics.
The economics of 1985 Miami. But
that was the thing. That was, I mean, they're, well, you know, Blanche is well-to-do. She probably has insurance from her husband. Mm-hmm.
She has money from her dad and plantation, old money.
She's very, you know, Blanche is very old South. Mm-hmm. Very, she's definitely like, she's had a case of the vapors.
A case of the vapors for a very long
time.
She's
had a gentleman caller.
Yeah. There's an episode where she thinks she's pregnant, and then she turns out that she's going through menopause. That's later on, though.
No, your eggs are dead.
Your eggs are dead, woman. And I'm sure Rose freaks out. No, we can't have a baby. Anyway, enough about the economical.
So basically. They're like, okay, so they establish that Blanche is going out, they say, with Harry. Mm-hmm. And then Rose and Dorothy are like, who's Harry? And then Blanche comes in and she's like, well, he has all of his hair. He has all of his teeth.
He's very gallant.
She said gallant.
That's right. Gallant.
Gallant.
What? That's a very southern word.
He's a good dancer.
He doesn't check his pulse.
He doesn't check his pulse. He doesn't talk in the movies. He doesn't chew loudly. All important things, by the way.
Yeah.
He's
also not very committed to one person. Like,
well, he's also interested.
Yeah.
As Blanche says, and Rose goes, in what?
And Dorothy goes, Rose, if you have to ask, it doesn't matter anymore. She sounds like George Costanza, like when she yells at Rose. She's super like just for no reason angry. Like you got home. Relax.
She's mad. She's had to teach kids, some of whom were bald.
And she can't eat enchiladas because they're too spicy for her.
She's got a heartburn situation. Even though she's eating some orange juice, which is acidic and would cause some problems, but that's me. All right.
Blanche comes back and says that, she comes back, which means she spent 30 seconds putting cucumbers on her eyes.
She came back to ask Dorothy if she could borrow her earrings, and she's telling more about him. You know, more great details about him. And apparently, he's also proposed.
He said that he's going to propose to her tonight.
Yeah. Right. Or no. He proposed before, and she has to give an answer that night.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah.
And she has no idea what she's going to say. which I think is bull. Like, you know what you're going to say. At least have an idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rose and Dorothy are concerned because Blanche owns the house. And they're going to have to move out. They're like, okay, where are we going to... Rose is immediately disturbed. She's just like, oh my God, we're going to have to move. If they get married. And then...
Right. And the thing about that is, like, Rose... Like, I don't know where her, how much she cares about her well-being as much as she cares about not having a place to live. Like, she's never had to move in her life, or she's never had to...
She says, literally, we're going to be bag ladies.
We're going to be bag ladies.
She's got it. That's what she said. She says, we're going to be bag ladies. And Dorothy's like...
Well, they go into the living room. They're chasing her down because...
They go into her bedroom. They don't knock, by the way.
But before that, she says, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm sorry. I have to go put on my face, while her face is covered in makeup. Like, she's already, like, done. Done, woman.
She's done. She looks great.
and then when she goes into the bedroom, it gives another opportunity to tell more jokes about Coco. And what was it when she said... What kind of collateral do we have? A gay maid? What is it, a gay cook? How much is that worth? Like, really? Like,
he's not even yours to sell.
Is he property? Like,
maybe he was. He was property in Miami, 1985. Yeah, well,
obviously, if Sophia's gonna sell this him at the dog tracks.
Yeah.
How much did they make off of him?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, they Blanche is saying she doesn't know what she's gonna say. She says, I'm not gonna know until it comes out of my mouth, which is a missed opportunity for a really gross sex joke.
But instead,
they make a belch joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dorothy says, it's an engagement, it's a proposal, not a belch.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, good point.
Good point.
And then she's sitting. Okay, so we go into her room. Let's talk about this room. Bed sheets that are just like green banana leaves that lead up to the wall. Like it's just like they just got banana leaf wallpaper and put it on the walls. And it's super campy and just...
There's no mistaking if this is in a tropical environment.
I want the inside of my bed, like my bedroom, to match all the banana leaves in the yard. And so, like, I legitimately believe somebody may have had that bed that was inspired, that inspired Blanche's bed. But, and then the bed is ridiculous. It's just, and then there's other banana leaves on the wall.
Yeah, there's a whole banana leaf motif, like, basically, like, throughout the house. So, like, yeah.
And then Blanche is sitting in this tiny table that's covered in, like, makeup and perfumes. And she has, like, a hand mirror, which to me is like, okay, if that person, Blanche, had, like, a little, like, vanity set, like, a vanity area, like, she would have a giant mirror, you know?
She would also have earrings and a mink stole.
Yeah, she would also have that. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, Dorothy has a mink stole.
Yeah, Dorothy would not have that mink stole, like or earrings. I mean, she does have earrings,
she's earrings, but she's a clip-ons person.
Right, but what is she borrowing so many things from Dorothy? And then she has a tiny mirror. Maybe it's because her face is so small. That's all she needs. Okay, that's a joke at Blanche's face. I think. It's always bothered me how small her face is to her size of her head. Has that ever bothered you?
I think she's very pretty.
She's very pretty. She's I'm not saying pretty. She's not.
And she's also a fellow Oklahoman.
Oh, yay, Oklahoman. Yeah. She doesn't...
I'm from Oklahoma, by the way.
I think she's very pretty, but just growing up, I used to look at her face and be like, she must have gotten a nose job or something that made her look like, I mean, she's very pretty, but I don't know, like, something about her face just, like, it's kind of petite, like, it's very delicate, but it doesn't fit, like, her face.
Huh.
I don't know. Like, maybe we're looking at a picture of her now.
We're looking at a picture of her now, and I'm like, but it's like a really, she's, I don't know. I like her.
Like,
I
like her look face. How kind of like a little, she looks like a little chow chow.
Aww.
But she's very pretty, but anyway, that's just, I just want to mention that.
But she's nervously getting ready.
She's
getting ready, and she says, so she's, so basically the doorbell rings.
That's right.
The doorbell rings.
And she's like, it's him.
It's him.
Let me get ready because I'm not done.
She goes, I still put it on my face. And,
and then Dorothy says.
So much face putting on.
All you need to is, what did she say?
Dorothy, dip in bronze.
Dip it in bronze. Which I like that joke. That was a really good joke.
Good one.
So then Rose is chasing Dorothy to the door to pick her, to answer the door. And Rose is saying, like, I just, like, even though she might be homeless, all she cares, she's like, one priority is, like, whether or not he has hair in his ears.
Yes. Yeah. Which, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gross.
Yeah.
Easy problem to take care of.
Easy problem. But, hey.
She makes a big deal about it.
You might be homeless. Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's like,
you're not going to fuck him. Are you?
Right. Like, that's okay. Like, her priorities is hair in his ears and whether or not she'll be homeless or equal.
Yeah. So basically, and then they open the door and it's Sophia, Dorothy's mom, played by the great Estelle Getty.
Estelle Getty. Yay. Okay. Yeah. I love her. Love her death.
She's the best. Yeah.
She's the best.
And
she's carrying a bag.
She's carrying
a brown paper bag,
and just says the home burnt down. She starts walking.
Shady Pines burned down.
Yeah,
that's the reason she's here. And there's a cab outside that Dorothy needs to pay for, and she says, "Do you have no?" She says, "I'm an independent woman." Her speech about being an independent woman, and then she goes, oh, but can you pay my cab fare? And then the audience laughs, ha ha ha. And then she says it's $67, right?
Which was like $1,000 in 1985.
That was $1,000,000. And then she says, crazy. Like, it's because the cab driver, it was 15 minutes, Shady Pines is 15 minutes away. Another reason I'm like, why didn't she just live with them? You know, like, you had to put your, anyway. And so, it's $67 for a 15-minute cab ride, and she says the reason for it was there was a bilingual tax.
A little bit of a racist joke.
A little bit. And I didn't, yeah. I don't know. I was just like,
if you're
going to go racist, go funny. Like, go, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe they stopped and got taco. I don't know, like, I don't know. I think
they got
Cuban
sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good.
And they do make a few like racial statements. Like earlier, they were like, "Oh yeah, I mean, every man under 80 is a cocaine smuggler here in Miami." Like,
I thought that was a cocaine statement.
A cocaine statement.
I don't know if that was. I didn't take that as.
I just thought of like Cubans are in Miami. Like all the men are. Drug smuggler, Cuban man. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't racist. Anyways, but I don't know. I think if she lives so close that she, like, I don't know. Why would she have to, why wouldn't she live there? That just bothered me. Anyway.
And they don't ask a lot of questions. They're like, all right. You're here?
Yeah. No.
You got a room made up for you?
They don't ask, was everything okay? Did you need to go get stuff? If there was a fire, I don't know. If I was a writer for that show, I would just been like, let's talk a little bit more about this fire, or let's bring it up, or there was no follow-up or brought up again.
It was kind of, they talk about it a little bit, because the next person is... basically the door that rings, the doorbell rings, and it's Harry.
Right.
Yeah. And then they talk about it a little bit there. But first, Sophia goes into The kid, she says, can I get something to eat or is the fancy man in there?
Which I'm just like, oh man. And then they bring back that fancy joke again later on, but I'm like, God, think of, and it gives her a cracker in that.
They're basically, yeah, they're just trying to like establish that Sophia says whatever she wants.
Right.
Like, she also, she first sees Blanche come out and she goes, who are you? And she goes, I'm Blanche.
Remember me?
And she's like, you look like a prostitute.
You look like a prostitute.
Which is what,
right?
In fairness, that's what most people in their 80s like
would say to a person like Blanche Devereaux.
Yeah. And they just say, she, you know, she has no filter. She had a stroke. She has no filter anymore.
And then it's because, okay, I don't know. Is this true? Okay. Rose explains to Blanche that the reason that she's so crude and offensive is because she had a stroke, and the stroke erased the part like of her brain that holds back being rude. I don't buy that. Like, that's not like the best explanation.
I feel like rudeness is not a medical symptom. Maybe like in the South?
Like, if you WebMD stroke, like, it's not going to say, what, you may be super rude and call people a prostitute and call, like, and just be, like, snarky and set retirement homes on fire and then just be super racist and make, like, homophobic statements. I don't know if it was homophobic. She did like him, but it was kind of like making fun of the feminine guy. Like,
she called him an okay petunia.
An okay petunia! Like, but like, you think maybe what happened was you had a stroke and maybe she just had it. You know, maybe she's just like, fuck it. That's what I would like to think, because I'm done, and that was her excuse. I had the stroke and I'm just going to say whatever I want, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what's happening here.
And that they could have just said that. They could have just, like, after the stroke, she was like, fuck it, I'm going to call you a whore, you know?
So,
right.
So Harry comes in.
And Harry comes in, and he's, like, this wonderful-looking silver fox.
He looks like an elderly Ken doll. He's got this, like, great blue blazer, like one of those, like, blue blazers on with, like, gold buttons. Like, he looks like he has, like, a selection of boat shoes. Like, he has, like, he looks great.
He looks amazing. He's dapper. He's charming, just like they said. And then
I get it, Blanche.
Creepy. But it was creepy how he walked in. He was like, there you are, my pretty. And I'm just like, oh, like, what are you, the Wicked Witch of the East? Like, I don't,
No, he's got a weird, yeah, he's a little slimy. And then, yeah. So he says hi to
everybody.
He meets Rose, he meets Dorothy, and then when he gets to Sophia, he makes that.
You must be Dorothy's sister.
Yeah. And she's like, what, are you fucking blind?
Are you fucking blind? While eating a cracker fucking that a gay dude gave her. Like, or a pop, was it a Pop-Tart? I don't know.
We don't
know. Were Pop-Tarts around back then?
Man, I think it was the very beginning of Pop-Tarts. It may have been a Pop-Tart.
It may have been a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The gay man gave her a Pop-Tart. And then she's just like, Estelle Getty is just super rude. And then she gets into this whole, yeah, they do talk about the burning of the building and how everybody, like, was super slow at getting out and, like, it wasn't pretty that, like, you know, she goes, like, she's like, you know, you don't set off fire alarms at a retirement home. It isn't pretty. And I was just like, there are so many good opportunities for an awesome joke there. And it kind of fell flat for me.
It was kind of, for me, that was the death is all around us portion of the show, which I feel like Sophia is half, you know, snarky comments, half, like, the hand of death. Like, basically. Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was it. It was just like, yeah, there's lots of people that,
yeah,
there are people that died, yeah, from this fire.
And then later on, we think she's dead. And I think there's several moments in this series where we think she's dead.
Yeah, that's,
And then Dorothy holds a hand mirror to her nose. Like, and again, the hand mirrors are very popular in the 80s, apparently.
I mean, for elderly women. For elderly women, you had to have a hand mirror and Vaseline.
And Dorothy, yeah. Oh, and their outfit. And then Rose's outfit, like, just so much sequence leaves
on
her shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, Blanche has, like, she's... Honestly, I thought she had a good date outfit.
She had a good date outfit, but like the shoulder pad, like if you're gonna wear shoulder pads, the glimmer like of those banana, like banana, I'm gonna call them.
They're like puff sleeves. They were like kind of puff sleeves or kind of a dolman, yeah, kind of thing.
But they just made her look even bigger. But and then Dorothy's wearing like the biggest shoulder pads in the world. She looked like a car seat. She's just like this, and I'm just it bothered me that
Dorothy.
Dorothy
is a she's a taller woman.
She's tall.
She's tall and thin.
She's like 6 foot eight.
she played in the NBA.
WNBA. Was that around back
then? She was the only member. But I think they made her shoulder pads bigger. There was like a break where they gave her more shoulder pads.
They had like a shoulder pad pit stop, dude. Yeah. Like.
We gotta talk about these shoulders. Yeah, we gotta talk about these shoulders and what we can do about them. And and there was a pads guy that came out.
The pads guy, like, all right, cut, break, and then more shoulder pads. The more breaks they take, the more shoulder pads. I think they took a lot of breaks during that scene.
So anyways, they look uncomfortable after Sophia gives her death speech, and they're like, all right, we got reservations, and start to leave, and just, like, the door isn't even closed. The
door's not even closed.
And Sophia goes, he's a scum.
He's a scuzzball.
He's a scuzzball.
And then the crowd is roaring laughing, and Dorothy just, like, goes up to her and goes, like, waves her hands or something, and then Estelle Getty looks up at her, and then Dorothy looks at her, and the moment was really great. Like, it was like they were laughing, but they weren't saying anything, and they were just like looking at each other, and I really loved that moment. And then what happens after that?
Well, basically, then Rose kind of expresses more concern.
Yeah, she does.
She's like, what if she marries this guy? What if, you know? She kind of goes into
the speech about how we're all alone.
How we found each other. We found it was a miracle that we found each other, and because we were so alone. And then Dorothy is like, "We found each other in a supermarket ad. It's not the resurrection."
You can't give Rose a break ever.
But, yeah, Rose is like, you know, our husband, you know, we got married, we had kids, our kids left, our husbands died or left, and she's like, life's so hard, we work so hard, and what's it all about? And
what's the point if we're just gonna end up alone? Yeah, we're all alone.
Jesus Christ, Rose. You're a grief counselor.
I think, like, Susan Harris at that moment was, like, drinking, like, a glass. She was on her third glass of wine. She's all alone and, like, just, like, typing away Rose's monologue.
That's an crying. Honest fucking scene.
Like, that is Susan Harris's life. Like, what happened to you, Susan Harris? Yeah. Like, who left you? Like, and whose children don't call you? I just thought of poor Susan Harris.
Yeah.
That's definitely her.
And Dorothy's like, she comforts her. She goes, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. It's okay.
It's going to be okay. It's Rose. Okay. And then Estelle Getty, Sophia, she says, what did she say? Just get a poodle. What did she say?
Yeah. Just get a poodle.
Well, she says, like, what are we going to do? Just get a damn poodle. Right? He's chewing on her gay cracker. And so the next scene is, were they in the balcony?
No, they're out in the patio. It was at night. It was on the patio. And they were discussing they were all in their pajamas, and it was just Rose and Dorothy, and they were out there, and they're like, I wonder.
And Coco was serving them tea, which she shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Because they pee a lot.
So basically, they're waiting for Blanche to get back from her date. She hasn't gotten back yet, and they're still concerned. Yeah. Right.
And then Rose does this thing about how Blanche is really codependent, and even during George's funeral, which is her ex-husband, she got a date during George's funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She came to with a date, which, by the way, I would love to see the show from the perspective of the date. And then Rose goes, she really needs a man. And then she does this like weird sex dance, which has to be, if it's not already, it has to be a GIF. This is like, I feel like this powers BuzzFeed.
She
does this like jerking.
Oh, man.
It's spectacular.
It made me uncomfortable. Please watch this. For anything, for that part. It's amazing. And then Coco is still on the clock, still pouring food and drinks into these women, because that's why he exists.
Yeah.
And then
Rose, you know, Dorothy says that she has to get up early. She doesn't know why she's still up, because she has to substitute teach a class because the teacher was shot by a student.
What? Where? Okay. So, okay. First of all, she says this is the best school in Dade County. Bull. No. There's kids being shot.
No, she's a substitute teacher. She has to go.
So is the same school or a different school?
Maybe it's a different school. Also wouldn't have the authority to kick kids out of the class. But so it's,
yeah, maybe
it's
that's
weird.
Maybe that's why these teachers are being shot, because they're kicking students out of the class for what they look like. I say shoot the teachers. That's my opinion.
This is the Miami is dangerous.
Miami is dangerous.
Yeah. So,
and then Rose follows her into the house and is like, and they leave Coco outside, rude, and they clean up after our mess, Coco, bye, clean up after this tea. And then, because they're all very privileged women, apparently. And so Rose follows her and she's like, she says, like, I'm able to sleep so sound. It looks like my hair never even touched the pillow when I'm sleeping. But Charlie on the other side, it looked like a murder scene.
She says, it looks like a... He tosses and turns all night. It looks like a murder scene. She speaks about him in the present tense.
Right.
And so Dorothy's like, he's dead. She won't let her have it. She won't let her... She's not doing it. It's been 15 years.
A part of me wants to believe that... Yeah. Maybe he was murdered next to her bed and she's still sleeping with his bloody sheets, and it looks literally like a murder took place, and she just talks to his bloody stained sheets.
It's like some kind of psycho Nell situation. Yeah, so
Nell, like the movie where the woman doesn't know how to talk.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There's like a part where she like cheerfully takes Liam Neeson into the woods. Oh, to show,
yeah. Yes.
To show like her, I think it's like her dead sister. She's like, my sister's skulls.
she shows her sister's skeleton laying there, and she talks to it and like pets it. Oh, that is creepy. She's a Nell. And so Dorothy wants to go to bed, and then all of a sudden Blanche comes in, and
Sophia comes in.
Oh, Sophia first. Comes in. Oh yeah, she lost. I'm sorry, she lost her. She what is she?
She thought they were being so loud. She goes, "Oh, it's just you guys. I thought it was robbers, so I hid all my jewels. Now
how
I can't
loud
find them.
Where are they? Like, it wasn't even loud."
Dorothy's like, "You don't have any jewels." And she's like, good, because I can't find any. So it's a, they're old.
But the thing is, like, I believe she has jewels, because there's so many times in that series where, like Sophia is making money off of someone. There's an episode where, like, she's accidentally getting, like, an extra $1,000 in her social security, and she starts pocketing it. Like, like, so that kind of hints to like her future, like gambling, which why not make the oldest character be the one that's, you know, good at gambling and shit like that.
Totally. If you've been to a casino, it's
all old women.
It's almost all old women ordering coffee and
yeah. And oh man. Okay. So then she sits down. Sophia sits down. She calms down because she has no jewels. If she had them, they're burnt. They're burnt somewhere under a rubble of shady pine fire. And so
yeah. So Coco comes back in. He offers her drink. He offers her some tea. And she orders a shot of gin with a beer back, which is pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. He doesn't get it to her, which I think she looks disappointed.
Right. And Coco was like, are you kidding me? And at that point, I think Coco could have just been like, I fucking hate you, fucking ladies. Fuck, I'm going to
bed. No. And they make it worse because then Rose goes on to this thing about how she can't drink any liquid anymore. It makes her stay up at night, and you know, it just makes her pee. And then Sophia says, "Hey,
kitty, the kitty's all over us now." Okay,
good time. All right, get out of here. Okay, cat interlude.
Cat interlude.
Okay, Sophia says, I always pee at 7 a.m. like clockwork. And but she goes, but I get up at 8.
Too bad I only get up at 8 o'clock. That was a good joke. That was a good setup.
It's a pee joke.
But yeah, so like I think like the writers were just like, we need to have tea at the very beginning of the scene so I can have that joke at the end. I'm like, okay.
It's a body horse.
Yeah, well joke. Worth it. Well worth it. Yeah. And there's some discussion about blowgun weddings and Dorothy just being like, what the hell are you talking about? Blowgun wedding, whatever. And so,
Well, first Blanche comes home. Blanche comes home and they ask her how the date went, and she's just like rambling on. She's just like, oh, I had stone crabs. You ever had stone crabs?
What are even stone crabs? I don't know.
I don't know what stone crabs are. But she's like, I thought they'd be gross, but they were great.
I don't need anything with a head. And they're like, what? What happened? I don't need anything with a head. I can't even eat lobster. And then, what happened?
Rose is like, I don't need anything that moves. And Dorothy's like, a horse? Like a fucking horse? Like, what the fuck are you saying?
Why horse?
I don't know. I think Dorothy eats meat. There's no vegetarians. There's no elderly vegetarians in 1985.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, like that's definitely not happening. So she's like, what the fuck are you even talking about? So then she goes, like oysters? Oysters. She makes this whole
she's
thing
like,
about
oysters move.
Oysters move. oysters move. I've seen them. It's slow. It happens.
And she's just like, what happened? Oysters move. I'm telling you, you have to watch them really closely. They move. And then awkward, like, just Dorothy is just like, I'm going to fucking punch you in the face right now, Rose. I swear to fucking God. And then like... And then Blanche finally says, I said yes, I'm gonna marry him. And then the expression on Coco's face, he looked like an open pest dispenser, just like,
like, he's like, I'm fucking gone.
He looked like the snake, like unhinged his jaw,
and then he's gone. They have him there 1 second. He's standing with the ladies, like standing there expectantly. He's just like,
but he finds out the news, and then it cuts to black, like that's the commercial break. Then it comes back, not nothing has changed, but Coco's gone. Like, yeah. It was too much. Coco cannot handle this. That's the scene that they cut out. Coco, way too much. Too gay for me. I gotta go do stuff. I gotta go watch glasses that were drink tea out of. That tea inside of them. But it's just... That
he
was just
reused that tea.
But you know what? Maybe, well, you know what? They ran out of airtime. They didn't have it. They couldn't pay him more for more than 10 minutes on air. And that's why Coco had to go. Coco, bye-bye. Like, it was just bye-bye. Ridiculous how he was just cut out of that scene. No explanation.
So, let's see. So what next?
So then it fades back in. And then Blanche gets up and she's like, I'm in love and we're going to have the honeymoon in New York City. I just hope I don't get murdered.
Yeah, because New York City, there's a lot of crime, and New York City crime was like a hot topic.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah. So the things that were feared in 1985 to me were New York City, women with bald heads. What if she had cancer? You don't know.
Yeah, she could have had cancer.
She
could
have cancer. She kicked
out. AIDS.
Boys with green hair.
Yeah. skateboards.
Wet newspapers. That's later on. And...
Russia. Like, they'll come up later, I'm sure.
That'll come up later.
Yeah. We're kind of near the end of the Cold War. So Cold War will come up. There will be an episode.
And so then Blanche sort of just Rose is like concerned. She's like, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna, where are we gonna live? And then Blanche says, you guys can stay here. And then Rose is like, well, that settles that. And then crowd laughs. And then she says, until you find a place to live. And then she's like, and then Rose is like, well, who knows how long that will take. And so it's kind of, Rose keeps jumping back and forth in her emotions, I think, like whether or not she cares about living here as much as she cares about...
Maybe it was magical that they all really found each other, because, like, Rose has, like, no life skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like, yeah, there's probably a place you could stay. There's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go back to St. Olaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go back home. Yeah. You don't want to? Why would... That's not an option.
I know it's cold. I know it's cold there. But, yeah. So,
She's gonna be like, they're like, she really will be a bag. Like, they wouldn't be bag ladies. I mean, they have jobs, don't they have money saved? Like,
next they're just in shock. Like, Rose is just like, well, you know, I can't believe they're getting married after they knew each other a week. Like, me and Charlie, we dated for 2 years, and then Rose starts talking about her so-called blowgun wedding.
Oh, that was that part. Okay,
yeah,
I jumped ahead.
So basically that's when she's like, all right, yeah, well, when Stan had to marry me before my dad finished his sentence. So turns out she was pregnant and Stan was forced to marry her. Mm-hmm. And Rose kind of being a dick is like, well, maybe he was forced to marry you. Like,
Was that Stan or her first husband?
That was Stan, her first husband.
Okay.
Stan was her first husband. And then she goes, well, he left 38 years later. He left me for a stewardess on a trip to Hawaii. It was her first flight. They said upon arrival, give all the passengers a lay. She got confused. Which, beautiful line.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's a great.
Yeah.
That's
and then,
a great.
Yeah,
line.
It was good. I was like, yeah.
Awesome. Very good job, Susan Harris.
And now he's a 65-year-old living in Maui, learning how to windsurf. And she hopes
hope he falls into a volcano.
Hope he trips over his thongs and falls into a volcano.
And I just think, like, thong means sandal, but I kept thinking, like...
Thongs, yeah.
He's a saggy thong from his crotch that he trips
That's
on.
What he does when he wears it.
Oh, man.
I got my slutty store in his life or whatever. So basically.
And so the next scene after that is the wedding. The wedding at the house. They have to have it at the house because Blanche won't pee anywhere but the house. That's the excuse that they gave so they don't have to build another set because it is a pilot. We understand that. So they had to do with what they had.
So, basically, they're getting ready for the wedding, and...
It starts off with Dorothy is looking at a mirror in Blanche's room, the banana leaf room.
Boundaries, and, by the way.
No boundaries.
No boundaries.
Yeah, no. She can go into my closet, get my mink stole, and I can just put on, like, just look in the mirror, and it's cool. It's cool.
This blazer looks good.
Yeah. My shoulder pads look great. and then Rose comes in. Rose is like, Dorothy, I can't let her like she's not earshot of Blanche in the bathroom. We can't let her marry him. Which that bothered me because moments
she said she felt suspicious. She said she felt suspicious of him. There's something she doesn't trust about him. Right. And she's like, I don't think this should happen.
Maybe it's the fact that you don't want to be homeless. You have a fear of being homeless. Maybe that's it. Or maybe you have magical powers. I don't know, Rose. I don't know where you're coming from.
And Dorothy's just like, she's happy. You know, we're not doing this. We're not running our day over a hunch. And of course, Rose says, you know, it's not a hunch, you know, like it's not, my hunches are good. My hunches are good. And she says, if Mrs. Gandhi had accepted my call.
Mrs. Gandhi, where do you get Ms. Gandhi? Like, why is there a person named Gandhi living in St. Olaf? Like,
I think it was I think it was the Indian prime minister. I think it was.
Right.
He was shot.
What did she say about Gandhi? That man wouldn't have burnt himself to death.
wouldn't have died or something. So.
Well, she should have said maybe. Did Gandhi die after Golden Girls? I'm not too sure.
I thought it was before.
Before.
All right. I'm sorry. Write us angry letters.
Telling us.
Sorry, I did not research this whole Gandhi situation.
But she should have, like, her husband wouldn't have left her or something. What did she say to her?
She's a prime minister who got shot. She was assassinated. So I believe that's what she wouldn't have died. I think that's what she was saying.
Oh.
So I think. So.
So she hung out with Gandhi.
I guess.
I don't know.
Or. we are getting this so wrong.
It's fine.
I'm very sorry.
It's
1985 history joke, and I'm really sorry. Right. I don't know.
I also did. There was an earlier reference to MCI, which I did not.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's an MCI, right? She's like, Rose says she likes to talk to her husband because it makes her feel closer to him. And
she says, how do you feel like you're close to your ex-husband or something? And then she's like, I can't even get through to New York without MCI. I don't know what the joke was.
It was an MCI joke. So MCI. Yeah,
old school.
Was still crappy.
Was still a shit company.
Still shitty.
Still shitty.
So
then Blanche comes in and she's like, don't roast. You do not tell her what's up. Like,
yeah. And Blanche is like, she's crying and she goes, yeah. I'm so sad, but I'm so happy. I'm so sad and happy. And Rose goes, speaking of sad, which and Blanche I'm sorry, Dorothy tells her to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no, she says, pick that up, Rose.
Yeah,
and then Rose is just like super mad. Rose is like, oh, Betty White. You know one thing about the Golden Girls? They were good actresses. All three main Golden Girls were fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Sophia, like, she's super amazing. I mean,
she's good too. But she's the least experienced.
The least experienced. Yeah. And yeah. So, but all three of them are veteran actresses, and they really get into those characters. And I love that. That's something that it's like priceless. But then Rose says, "I think it's a mistake." Well, Blanche says something like, "I'm so glad I'm getting married." And then Rose is like, "I think it's a mistake." And then Dorothy's like, "To wear all that makeup." And I'm like, "Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you for calling her out on her makeup again."
Yeah.
And then and their outfits. One is wearing blue. I think blue was Rose. And then Blanche's outfit was yellow. And then Dorothy was wearing pink. And I was just like,
technically Blanche was wearing like a cream.
Like a cream.
She was wearing like a cream. Okay.
I just thought of like the three fairies from Beauty, the Sleeping Beauty. They all just like, it was like, just if one of them was wearing green, it would have been like, these are the three fairies from Sleeping Beauty. And they were all wearing the same lipstick color.
Yeah. They're all wearing
red, orange, like
yeah,
deep, slutty.
Like, not slutty, like classic.
Was it classic?
Classic. Okay. Classic, like elderly, you know, I don't know. Like they look good. They're dressed up for a non-traditional wedding. Yeah, so
very non-traditional. 1 week,
and of course Blanche is super nervous. She's got to use the bathroom. She keeps rambling on about the bathroom, and of course
that's why they have the wedding at the house, because she can only pee in the bathroom.
Yeah,
which is a good save, Susan Harris. Good save on that one.
Good save.
So
yeah,
you don't have to build another set.
So yeah, and Rose keeps trying to tell her and then
gets locked in the closet by Dorothy.
Yeah, Dorothy just eventually locks her in the closet.
Which I don't even understand, like, what was Dorothy's motivation for her to, for reals, not let Rose voice her opinion.
I know. Like, Dorothy's I'm the only one who could be a dick.
Yeah, like, I guess. She just had it with Rose.
Me and my mom, we're the only people that can fucking be rude. Right. So.
And the thing about, and also, like, it's Blanche's house, and I'm backtracking a little bit. It's Blanche's house, and Dorothy, like Sophia is super rude to her. Like, how are you going to be rude to the person that's letting you live with you? Like, it's her house. Like, she can say, no, you don't get to live here. You called me a whore. You know, like, I don't.
But she's fine. She's just like, it's water off my
whatever. Yeah. I'm going to go get engaged.
Got myself an elderly Ken doll.
An elderly Ken doll.
So.
Anyway, so the scene ends with Coco walking in. Well, they needed a reason to let Rose out, and Coco comes in after Dorothy and Blanche leave. Coco comes in, wipes the bed.
The minister's there. Mm-hmm. So he announces and then the next scene, they're in the living room.
Right. They go into the living room, and they're waiting for the groom to show up.
He's 30 minutes late.
The
minister's there, and he's impatient. He says, I got a lot of funerals.
I got to bury Mr. Pincus.
Got to marry.
This is Miami. And he makes a Miami joke. Like, this is Miami.
Death is all around us, guys. Yeah. So basically, they're nervous.
By the way, they didn't bother to invite anyone else to the wedding. Like, no one's there but Coco, Sophia, Blanche, Dorothy. Who else do they need? They don't have friends. They don't have neighbors. No one from the groom's side came. No one, not even a friend of Coco's was there. Some, his boyfriend. Like, they didn't, maybe they just couldn't afford it. But it was never like, I don't know. It just seemed like super lame fucking wedding. No one's there.
Well, and then we also, the doorbell rings and we think it's Harry.
Of course, why would he ring the doorbell? He's late to his own wedding. He should barge in.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's got boundaries.
Right.
He's got boundaries.
He's gallant. Like, he's gallant. This isn't,
yeah.
He would ring the doorbell.
Yeah. So they open the door and it's a cop.
A black cop.
It is a black cop.
They chose a black cop.
I didn't want to point out his race, but yes.
I mean, they have, like, I don't know if Susan Harris, I keep, like, he's like a black cop.
Black
like,
cop.
He cut, like, yeah.
So.
Probably one of the ancestors that worked in Blanche Devereaux's plantation, family plantation.
Now you're reaching.
Now I'm reaching.
But so he tells he. So first of all, she thinks he asks if she's Blanche Huntington.
Huntington.
Yeah.
Huntington, really? She doesn't say Deborah.
Yeah.
Because that's her. That's his last name.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. And he changed her names.
They changed her names, yeah. And she's like, "Oh, yeah. Is he dead? He's dead."
And oh my! He was murdered. Just. Murdered,
it's,
like
it's out of Miami. Yeah, of course he's murdered, and
like
and,
maybe this like last weekend someone else got murdered. That well, there's maybe he was in a student in the class that Dorothy was
he's
subbing.
A teacher.
Like
full circle,
oh, full circle. We figured it out. Okay,
but no, he's been arrested. Everyone's very shocked. He's arrested for bigamy. He's got five other wives in other states. And so basically, and the cop yeah. says, yeah, you dodged a real con artist.
Well,
wow.
You brought up this point earlier when we were watching the show. You're like, how do you get arrested for bigamy?
Like, that's not something people get. Like, it's not like you get pulled over and get arrested for bigamy. Like, yeah. It's not like, I think that guy's a bigamist.
Right.
Like, maybe, like, he's got the thing. He's got the thing of the family on the car and, like, six of them are wives.
He got this like, 20 women stick figures.
20 women. And, like, oh, those are.
Like, they don't explain that at all. And you brought this up on. This point also like when they arrested him, what they gave him a note.
Yeah, he hands Blanche a note from him, and I'm like, they let him write a note, and he actually delivered. He
took while the cop is on the clock.
He's not there to take a statement from her because honestly, they haven't got married, so he's not a bigamist with her.
Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense like that. That Miami cop took his time to like go over and tell her that
there are teachers being shot. Yeah, what is your problem? Why are you going to that house? You have stuff to do.
Yeah. So basically, I know.
He was not trained in New York, apparently. He needs to go solve murders. Oh man.
No kidding. So basically, yeah. So Blanche is in shock, and the cop leaves, and Dorothy says, "Do you want me to read this letter to you?"
Mm-hmm.
So basically,
she couldn't read it herself. She's too emotional, staring out into the door, just like staring at her yard, like so soap opera-y. And she actually got wet eyes.
She got wet eyes. She looks sad.
Like, Rue, I love you. I love your acting.
So Blanche reads this note, which honestly, like, why even? The
why
note was it? So stupid.
Like, what I don't did even it say? Know I forgot
why he
said.
Bothered. Like he, they probably had to. He got let out of handcuffs to write the stupidest note ever. It was
maybe
like,
the cop wrote it for him.
Yeah,
what would you like me to say?
Like,
it's a slow day.
Blanche, by now you know, I'm really sorry. You're a super lady. This time was different.
Right.
Hope you write me in prison.
Oh man.
Like that was literally what he
wrote. Hope you write me in prison.
Please. But yeah, like
I mean, what if like okay, this is kind of far-fetched, but like what if Harry told that cop like, "Hey dude, I can't marry her. I thought I loved her. Can you do me a solid and write me this, hand her this note?" And the cop was like, $100. Or just even got his friend.
He's like, I need to drive out to the suburbs of Miami and deliver this note.
And then the guy, maybe he just hired that cop or got an actor to do it.
He's a stripper.
Yeah.
He's a stripper.
Yeah. That's why he was like,
I didn't see a badge.
I saw him wink at Coco. He's like, see you at the club later.
It's cute. It's a cute cop.
Yeah. He was very cute.
So basically Blanche is very upset. She says she feels like a fool, an old fool.
And even worse, an old fool. Oh, so dramatic.
And she's crying.
Oh, yeah. And then the priest walks out saying, you won't need me. Just like, opportunity missed for a joke there. Like, I don't know.
That was his joke. It was like, all right, on to dead people.
On to Mr. Pincus.
On to Mr. Pincus. So then they're sitting on the couch. Blanche is despondent. She's just like, I just want to die. So I just hope I die right now so I don't have to do anything anymore.
A lot of death talk, man.
Yeah. And then she's...
Susan Harris is obsessed with death.
And then she says, then I don't have to look anybody in the eye. And Blanche goes, except Mr. Pincus.
And then Dorothy just like grabs her, like maybe she just grabbed her shoulder pad and squeezed it.
She pinched her. She fucking pinched her.
Like a child.
Yeah. So just a fade out on Rue McClanahan's sad face.
Which is red. Like her eyes are red. Like she really is acting. And I'm like, oh my God. Whoever casted this show, they're amazing. Yeah. And so next scene is the last scene of the show. And they're all in the patio.
Yeah.
And Dorothy's drying newspaper because the newspaper boy will never be a newspaper man.
She said the paper boy. She goes, I ever see that paper boy. He's not going to become a paper man. And because he has thrown the newspaper into a puddle. And she's drying it out.
It would be funny if like the mugshot of Harry was like laying over the banana leaf drying.
Like 3 weeks later in this paper.
Oh yeah, it was 3 weeks later.
Three weeks later.
We're a little behind on our mugshot section here. Yeah, we got Miami.
It's mostly our obituaries and murders.
Mr. Pincus' obituary. Everything's just really late.
Yeah. So basically, they're talking about Blanche.
And Sophia's laid out like she's dead.
She's laid out. She's got these sunglasses on, and
which she should not be tanning at her age, really. You know, if you think about it.
Dorothy's handing her. She puts a hand mirror up to her face. Presumably to see if she still has a shadow.
Stole Blanche's hand mirror because there's no boundaries, remember?
And she's like, and then Rose says, what you do that for? And she goes, I'm just checking. You never know.
Wishful thinking.
You never know. And they start talking about how Blanche
hasn't come out of her room. She hasn't get fired at the museum.
She hasn't gone to her job. She doesn't want to go out to eat. She doesn't even want to see Julio Iglesias.
Julio Iglesias.
Like honestly, he's a Depends dropper. Old ladies love him.
Depends dropper.
She didn't even want to come out for him.
But I'm glad that like they went to enjoy Julio Iglesias without her.
That's totally. Totally. And
there's an episode where they go see Madonna.
Of course they there did. Is
like I'm like, why would they? Oh man. They're cool. Golden girls just wanna have
They got
fun.
Time.
Yeah.
They got
Yeah. They got nothing to do. They
don't
they have to clean their house though, because Coco's gone.
Well, Dorothy is like, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
She's like, okay, Irish, the way they have a week, they get drunk, they vomit, and they're done. She's like, Jews, they have a week, they eat for 10 days, they gain 10 pounds, and then they're done. We Italians, we scream, we dress up a donkey, we hire a band, and then we're done.
And then in the South.
And then the South, she said, these Southern Protestants. I almost said prostitutes.
You, Sophia, you.
Oh, man. She says, yeah, they just make it a way of life. Like not like she's been through something kind of traumatic. She trusted this guy. She was with him for 2 weeks. Almost got married to him. Took his name.
Yeah.
Took his name. A cop was so concerned he drove to her house to tell her.
But like, this show has so many like racial like jokes. Like it's just like, let's not pass up a chance for a scene to not have this racial thing. Well, they had to
tell everyone that she's Italian. That's why she's mean.
That's why she's mean. Italians are horrible people.
Yeah. So basically, and then
let's make a race joke about grief. That's my notes. That's what I wrote in my notes. Joke. Let's make a race note about grief.
But it's all white. It's all white race jokes.
Right.
Yeah. It's all. Yeah, so it's
they don't really.
You can make fun of you people. Yeah. You can make fun of the Irish. You can make
fun of the Irish because they're white.
Yeah.
Okay. So they stayed within the boundaries. I want to see what got edited out. Black people, they just scream and eat chicken.
Watermelon tears.
They cry watermelons. Sorry, listener, if you're offended easily.
Sorry.
By the way, we are stand-up comics, and that's why.
Sorry, I think I've said fuck about 80 times.
Yeah, I think we, yeah. If you've listened this long, then you're fine. You probably enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, okay, so basically, Sophia at this point says that when she goes, this is you know, she says when she goes, she just wants to be dropped in a steel box with the trash. And nobody knew that she was awake. Nobody knew she was awake. And they all thought, oh, you all thought you were asleep. And she goes, you never know. Death is all around us.
Her mangled body in the trash in a steel box. Just like, this is how she wants to go.
She wants to go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so anyways.
Or burnt alive in a retirement home.
So Blanche comes out. She tells them, she's like, you shouldn't be out here in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got her Southern beauty. You can already, kind of a sign that she's feeling better.
Mm-hmm. And she looks good. She looks fine.
Yeah, she looks a little better. And yeah, and she says she's doing. She said she was sad, but she's starting to, you know, she's okay. And she starts kind of rambling on
about the only time she says, "This one I didn't get." Like she said, "The only time I felt worse was when Charlie died."
George.
The only time I felt worse was when George died, and I'm like, "You're gonna compare being like left at the altar, which there wasn't even one, like left at the living room, like." To your husband, ex-husband's death, like that's you feel just as worse. Like I
guess that's. I mean, it's. She said. Well, she does say like it was a time for. She thought this is. You know, I thought my love life was over. Like this is a new hope. Like she just thought. Yeah. Like yeah. So she felt like it was over. Like she. Like she said, she felt like an old fool.
Right,
and she felt ashamed.
Okay. Well, like. I know that once you start grieving, you sort of forget
She's about depressed.
Pain. You know, she's very depressed.
She's depressed. So she woke up that morning. In the shower. She hears humming. She thought someone was in there with her. She didn't seem that concerned about.
It was Charlie's ghost.
Rose's husband.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
He was humming.
He was humming.
Staring her down.
So she's like, it was from me. I was happy. And it was because of you two.
I've been ignoring.
And then Sophie interrupts and she goes, how long is this story going to be? I'm 80. I had to plan. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
So
this is like jerk off movement I'm doing right now. Like Sophie, I might as well have been doing that. You know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
She made boring.
A jerk off. Yawn. Might as well just farted.
They're all just together. They're all just they're
holding
together.
Each other's hands.
They're holding each other's hands. They're and they're like, let's go celebrate.
Coco is gone. Like he's not even there.
They're celebrating together. They're gonna go to Coconut Grove.
Coconut Grove, yay! They're
for lunch. Coconut Grove for lunch, which I feel like is code for cocaine.
And then because she's not Rose isn't gonna be homeless. She can pay for it. Yay. And then Dorothy says this. Dorothy says, no matter what happens, even if we get married, we're going to stick together. And that, I was like, what the fuck? You're the one. Okay, spoiler alert, but at the end of the series, the last episode of The Golden Girls, Dorothy gets married and leaves them. And that's why they went and got the Golden Palace, Golden Palace got the hotel. Like, but Dorothy is the one that says, like, let's promise we'll stick together and breaks that promise from, like, full circle from the first episode to the last episode.
Dick.
Like, you're the one that leaves them. And I'm just like, like, it just reminded me of, like, my fucking, like, mm-hmm. the guys I've dated, and they, like, and they make this promise, like, we're gonna be together forever. We've known each other. Like, we're, like.
We have been going so strong for 72 hours.
First of all, you're roommates. but for someone to say that, like, as your roommate, if you were, like, I don't know. Like, if I were to say that to, like, two people who I'm rooming with, they would be like, you're fucking crazy. I'm sorry. We're not going to be together forever.
We're going to die. It's
we're
like,
going to die.
We're probably going to die.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Low expectations of your future, Dorothy.
Yeah. So anyways. So they ask Sophia if she wants to come with. And Sophia says no. She has to get her rest because she has a date that night with the fancy man
Coco.
They're going to the dog track.
Coco's nothing better to do.
Yeah. And then Rose says, oh, your mom gambles? And she's like, no, she rides. She's a dog jockey. And we have a theory that
yes,
that Sophia and Coco went to the dog track, and Sophia bet Coco.
Sold him.
And that's how Coco left the series.
Her dog, yeah.
Yeah, he was left as collateral.
To the Miami Mafia during the dog tracks.
And now he's serving them iced tea.
He's serving the Miami Mafia iced tea.
Iced tea. Because
that's his only talent.
And enchiladas rancheros. And they're dicks to him about it, too.
Because it's way too spicy.
Oh, they're like, oh, man. Yeah, we're white people. We need sour cream with our enchiladas.
So then Sophia leaves. They all leave. Exit right. And they're going to go have lunch at
Coconut Grove.
Coconut Grove on Rose's dollar, and then the credits start to roll. The show's over. Yay! We did. We went over the first episode.
Yeah,
that was great. Oh, that was thorough and amazing, Genevieve.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
That was super fun. And so this was called, again, The Engagement, and it aired first in January. No, not January. September 14th, 1985.
All right. So we wanted to provide you with a historical context. So on that... on that very same day, the Penang Bridge, the longest bridge in Malaysia, was built to connect the island of Penang to mainland Malaysia. So basically, I feel like that's a metaphor for Golden Girls. Like, we all had this empty space in our hearts. Basically, and this Golden Girls was a bridge to TV happiness.
Yes. I'm so glad you're connecting this to Golden
TV
Girls.
TV happiness, for an older crowd.
And then
3-year-old me and, negative 2-year-old you. And, so basically, yes, that was our, mm-hmm. yeah. Also, the day before, Super Mario Brothers came out for the first time on Nintendo.
That's awesome. Yay. I played that. Did you play that?
I played it. It's
I
like,
played it.
I'm a little, that was like the first video game I played. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't Atari, like, I didn't play that. Like,
yeah.
That was definitely probably the first one I played because my mom brought it home probably when I was like 4 years old, probably. And by then it was probably a little cheaper. So she was able to afford it because we grew up in poor ass Mexico.
Well, the first gaming system I had was a Game Boy that my sister won from the spaghetti warehouse.
Oh, nice.
Because she drew a picture of my dad for Father's Day. And they had a contest, and she won second place. First place was a TV. Second place was a Game Boy.
Oh, wow.
And we had two games. We had Tetris and Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario! I never played Dr. Mario. But,
it's good.
But I remember, like, in the neighborhood, like, there would be, like, one kid that had, like, one game, and everybody would, like, go play that game at that house. And then it gets stolen, like, really fast.
There's a lot of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Street Fighter was super big back then. Mm-hmm. Pac-Man was super big back then. And I remember, like, I hated going to someone's house and playing a game that I didn't have because I would lose. Like, just because they would play it all day.
Or they'd be like, let me show you how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Fucking video games.
And then they're like, and they glow over... you not knowing how to play the game. Like, oh, you're stupid. Like, no, you own the game.
They're like, you're no good at Dr. Mario. You're trash.
Yeah, you're
Get
garbage.
Get the fuck out of my
you
house.
Suck. I'm like, never mind. But then I remember, like, playing, like, me and my friends in Mexico. We would, like, pretend that we were, like, we would all be characters from Mario. And then we'd, like, fight. I don't know.
I think that was an excuse to fight.
That was an excuse. Yeah, like we were like one was Bowser, and like, you know, we played make believe in the yard, and just like it was really sad. Anyway, so that was so we're gonna do that. It's called that segment is maybe I should have introduced it, but what are we gonna go? We prepared for this very well.
This
as you
day,
can tell.
This day, Golden Girls history.
This day, Golden Girls history. Yay!
Yay!
Maybe we'll come up with a little theme song for that, and I'll put it.
Not this episode.
Not this episode. Apparently, okay. And so, the next episode is called "Guess Who's Coming to the Wedding."
So many weddings.
Woo! There's another wedding. Oh. So, and we're gonna have a guest. Possibly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a guest. And so we almost did. It's almost 2 hours, but, you know, it's our first time. It's the pilot. Who cares? We had fun. I had fun. Thank you, Genevieve.
I had fun. This is great.
This is great. So thank you for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast.
And thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being. And oh, let's plug. Let's talk about what we're doing this week. Do you want to talk about? Yeah, what shows are you doing this week, Genevieve?
Okay. I'm doing the Character and Snark Show on October 6th. That's going to be the Ice House Tavern. Actually, if you guys don't know, the Ice House Tavern is possibly closing, so they're not doing any comedy shows there anymore. So this is going to be one of the last shows, and it's a very special one. It's Jesse Johnson's character show, where basically different people play different characters, and then we're adding a different element to it. We're going to do a snark show as well, so we're going to be snarking the characters,
right? And that is
and so basically the snark show is kind of like a roast where, like, basically we write comments about we're going to be writing comments about all the characters for the host to read.
That sounds amazingly fun, and I will be there to see that.
So, and then we're also doing the social media show.
Yay!
Yay! That's going to be October 8th.
In this house? Where we're recording.
Where we're recording. That's a basically some of your favorite comedians around Phoenix are going to be sharing their best tweets.
Their tweets, their Facebook posts that are funny. So whoever we found funny is on the show. And so me and Genevieve are co-producing the show at her house because, unfortunately, Hidden House closed down.
Yeah, it was originally at Hidden House. That you may notice a theme. Comedy shows are closing.
Everywhere. There's a third one this, like, past 3 weeks. Ice House Tavern's closing down. And so it probably sounds lame that everything's closing down. But we're able to salvage this show and have it at Genevieve Rice's house. And thank you so much for doing that, by the way. And Genevieve is going to headline because she was nominated for Funniest Person to Follow on Twitter this year, 2014. But unfortunately lost to a restaurant. Lame.
I lost to Wrestler's Roost. In fairness, they have a slide in the lobby.
A slide? Oh, yeah.
And they...
You need to get a slide.
I do need a slide. I so need a slide. it was cool. I think, like, basically, it was a weird contest. And I was honored to be nominated. But,
yay.
I don't know. So, anyways.
Yay. Any other shows or anything else?
We also have, also here at the living room, we have, Mark Fry is coming in on October 14th.
Mark Fry. Super funny.
He was on Conan. He's been on the
Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah. He was on Taco Bell commercial. He's the founder of the Slow
Comedy Fest,
San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival that's coming up. So.
And that's great. It's a great festival. You should check it out. I did it last year. Hopefully we do it this year.
Yeah. And I'm Genevieve Rice, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm Genevieve Rice. I have a website, GenevieveRice.com. And yeah, that's about it for me.
Yeah. Okay. And me, I will be doing the social media show, of course. I'll be hosting that, and then I have my improv team Funnel Cake is gonna be trying to get to Tampa Improv Festival. We got in this year, and so we're doing a fundraiser at the Ice House on October 13th, which is gonna close down. So very
sad. Tampa celebrating their runs.
That's just good. We're going out with a bang, guys. Yay, Phoenix comedy. Yeah, just a bump in the road for us. And so, but great things ahead, like you said, you know. And so,
that's... The forest must burn before there's new growth.
It's a circle of life.
Death is all around us.
Comedy circle of life. from the grass we grow. And so... Yeah, so it's October 13th. We're going to be selling little funnel cake treats. Not actual funnel cake, but little funnels with treats inside of them. And you can buy funnel cake stickers and stuff like that that I'm making. I have a prototype here. It looks like a funnel cake woman with jizz on her. But I redid it. And
it
so,
does.
And so that's October 13th at the Ice House Tavern in Phoenix at 8:30 p.m. And Funnel Cake Improv will be performing also. And then October 17th, Funnel Cake is having a big sale at the Torch Theater from 6:30 to 11 p.m. And we are performing at 10 p.m. So you can come check us out. And it's a fundraiser for Tampa Improv Festival also. And baked good donations are accepted also. So feel free to bring baked goods. And we're going to have, we might raffle off Jennifer Capatti for a date. I think seems appropriate. Because she is in Funnel Cake. Jennifer Capatti, Danielle Friedman.
She had a boyfriend.
I think they broke up. I'm just going to share Jennifer Capatti's new love life on a podcast. Sorry,
I'm sorry, Jennifer.
Jennifer. But I'm sure she doesn't care. She'd be like, whatever, guys. And then there's a gay show at the House of Comedy October 20th that I'll be in. And I don't know any details about that because they haven't given me any. But it's October 20th. If you're gay or dislike gay jokes, go to House of Comedy October 20th. I'll also be at the Tempe Center for the Arts October 30th for Amy Blackwell's show. Also, we'll be pretty gay. And then October 31st, Comedy on Fire. I'll be performing at the Firehouse.
You doing a costume?
Yeah, it's Halloween, so I gotta. Yeah. Okay, I gotta. Good. I don't know. I might be a Golden Girl and promote the podcast. So that was a good 10 minutes of promoting. Okay. And so thank you again for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Gonna stop the chicken. Gonna stop the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.